may be seated. Sure is an honor to be here. It has been a good honor to be at the First Baptist Church this week, and one of the greatest places on earth. Amen. And so I thank you. I thank you for the greetings. And let me call your attention this morning to the book of Galatians, chapter 4 and verse 6. I'm going to preach to you a little bit this morning on the greatest subject in the Bible other than salvation, and that is prayer. Talking to God, having a relationship with Him. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "And because you are sons," because you're in the family of God, "God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts," not your heads. You could have a intellectual knowledge of prayer, but you need to have a heart knowledge of prayer. "Crying, Abba, Father." Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher, said that prayer is as natural an expression of faith as breathing is to the human body. Matthew Henry said, "You may as soon find a living man who does not breathe as a living Christian who does not pray." It is as natural to pray as it is for a baby to cry out for milk or food or attention. It should be just as natural for you and for me to pray. This morning, I would like to give you three little points about your prayer life, about Brother Beckham's prayer life. And let's pray, and then I'll give you the first point. My Father, I thank you. I love you. I thank you for this opportunity to speak to these students. And Father, help me to share my heart, share your heart. One of the greatest teachings in the whole world. Help us, Lord, to see the importance of it today. In Jesus' name, amen. You already see it. Write this down. It is natural for a Christian to pray because the spirit of prayer dwells in them. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, 19? It's pretty quiet, but it's going to get quieter. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, talking about it should be natural to pray. Many students, many preachers, many deacons, many Sunday school teachers tells me almost every week of my life, I hear, "Brother Beckham, it's not natural for me to pray." Well, you're in trouble. If you're born again, the Bible says that the Spirit of God will lead you to pray. And if you don't have a desire to pray, you might better check up. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? At the time of your conversion, the spirit of truth, faith, holiness, grace, supplication moved into your heart." If you are really born again, if you're really in the family of God, it is going to be very natural for you to get up in the morning and just start talking to God. Why? The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and that's what he does. Listen to Romans 8 and verse 15. The Apostle Paul said it this way: "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." He said, because you have been adopted into the family of God and you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you will cry out to say, Abba, Papa, Daddy, Father, Holy Father. It will just be natural. Look in Romans 8 and verse 26. The Holy Spirit moves on the heart of the believer to pray. We have already seen that. Listen to this verse. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You may say, Brother Beckham, I don't know what to say, so I really don't pray that much because I just don't know what to say. Well, I got good news for you. The Holy Spirit will help you in your prayer life. Amen. He's there. He's there in your body. He's not up running around up in the heavenlies anywhere. He is inside of you. You are the temple of God, and he is there to help you and to help me. Isn't that good? Isn't that a good principle? But a lot of people don't pray. I see deacons get saved in these meetings. I have seen pastors get saved. I've seen students like you get saved because they realize, my goodness, there's a problem. I've been in school for 4 years, and I really don't have a prayer life. That's a big problem. Amen. Because you're studying to be pastors and you're going to be going out pastoring a church somewhere, where you need to nail that down now. You need to make sure that you are in the family of God, that the Holy Ghost is inside of you. And if he is inside of you, he will lead you to do what? To pray. But look in Romans 8 and verse 9. The Bible says, "But ye are not in the flesh." You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, you better listen. He is none of his. He is none of his. He is none of his. Now, I have read to you about 3-4 verses proving that if the Holy Ghost is inside of you, he is going to lead you to pray. But if there is no leading you to pray, then you're none of his. That is very plain. That's hard hitting. That's not the milk bottle message. That is T-bone steak well cooked. It's well said. Let me read it to you again. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, why is my prayer life so shallow? Let me read it to you. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Nail it down this morning. Get it straight this morning. Before you graduate, before you go into the ministry, we need saved people in the ministry. We need Spirit-led people in the ministry. Amen. And so listen to point two. Point two is, it's natural to assume that believers will pray because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Is it okay to use the Bible around here? Amen. Listen to 1 John 2, 6. "He that saith," anybody can say that they abide in Christ. Anyone can say that. "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And I want to report to you, Jesus Christ walked in prayer. He depended upon God. One time he said, I can do nothing without the Father. We need to get a hold of that. If Jesus Christ needed the Father, we certainly need him. And then he also said one day, he said, without the Father I can do nothing, but he said also, for the Father doeth the work. We don't build the church. The Father builds the church through us. And we have to be right. Amen? And then look in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith, there it is again, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We see from the word of God that if anyone is not interested in walking with the Lord, he or she may not even be a Christian. R.A. Torrey, let me tell you what he said one time in a great crusade. He said, I believe that about 90% of the people that are in the local churches of our day are not even saved. Well, you know, that was in 1800s, in the late 1800s. R.A. Torrey, the great evangelist that followed around with D.L. Moody, that was his evaluation of the church. Our leaders even has it higher than that. And so why aren't we seeing revival in our schools, in our churches? I'll tell you why. Because we're not praying. We're not praying. We're not seeking God's will. We claim to abide in God, but we don't abide in God because we don't pray. Amen. And John 10:27, look at it with me, please. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Do you hear the voice of God? Do you hear the voice of the Holy Ghost? In the morning when you wake up, the Holy Spirit is leading you to pray. You say, no, sir, he doesn't lead me to pray. I just get out of bed, eat breakfast, come to school. Well, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. He says, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they will what? Follow me. So are you following the Lord? Are you following the Lord this morning in your prayer life? In the Gospels alone, Jesus is praying 30 times. He's praying regarding his baptism. He prayed all night before he selected the 12 disciples. His transfiguration was graced by his praying in Luke 9:29. He prayed before some of his miracles. He prayed in the garden before the crucifixion. And he prayed during the crucifixion. And we are to walk as he walked. Are you praying? Are you praying? Romans 8 and verse 27 says, he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now, he prayed all the time he was on earth. But let me tell you a wonderful truth that should bring a little bit of excitement to us. Look in with me to the book of Hebrews 7:25. The Bible says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Now notice, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them, for us. He ever liveth to pray for us. That's what he lives for. He intercedes for us every day. But who do you intercede for? Who do you pray for? Amen? Oh, my. Don't just be a student in a Bible college. Be a praying student. You will never be the soul winner you should be Oh, yes, you can go door knocking until your knuckles turn bloody, but you will never be the soul winner that you should be until you learn to have a prayer life. Amen? Yeah. It really scares me to know that we are putting out students into the ministry that didn't even pray in Bible college, but they think, well, that will come. If the Holy Spirit didn't lead you to pray in the Bible college, there's a good point that he's not inside of you, and it's not going to change when you get to be a pastor or a secretary or a school teacher. Amen? And so number three, it is natural to pray because as believers, we love the Lord. How many of you love the Lord? Yeah, one or two of you do. That's all. I can't hardly see your faces. But let me give you some verses here. Look in John 14, 15. John 14, 15. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments. How many Bibles are here this morning? I see Bibles everywhere. If you have a Bible, hold it up, please. This is the greatest book in the world. And this book says, if you have my commandments, well, this is the commandments. This is the statutes. This is the precepts of the Word of God. Amen. So praise the Lord. Tootie-toot-toot to you. You have a Bible. But there is much more to it than having a Bible. The Bible says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 14, 23 says, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Is that the wording in your Bible too? Is that true in your life? Oh boy. Oh boy. You have the Bible. You know the commands of the Bible. You know the exhortations of the Bible. But are you doing them? You're not to tell anyone that you are a student of Howes Anderson College, or you're a member of First Baptist Church, and you claim to be a Christian, you claim to be a lover of God, because there's people who's watching you. And they may not see that is true in your life. That's the reason why we need honesty in our revival efforts. Amen. And I want you to do me a favor this morning. I love you. I love students. I love churches. I travel all over the country, out of the country. I'm in all the Bible colleges across this land. But I see hundreds of students walking down the aisles, and I hope I see people here this morning being honest with God, because I'm going to read some verses to you during the invitation, and I just want you to be honest. Amen. God wants you to be honest. Would you turn with me to that verse, John 14, 23, if a man loves me, oh my, oh my, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Well, let's see if you are keeping his words. Let's see this morning if Brother Beckham is keeping his words. Would you do me a favor? Would you shut your Bible And would you stand with me? If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Listen. Matthew 6:6. Pray to my Father. Pray to thy Father. If a man loves me, pray to thy Father. How did you do on the first one? Secondly, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 6:9. After this manner, pray ye. And you may say, well, Brother Beckham, that was written back in that day. That's not for us today. This whole book is for us today. Amen. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. How many times do you pray for the missionaries as they go forth around the world? That's a command. That's if you love God. If you love me, you will keep my words. Luke 18:1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always. Not just if we feel like it. Not just if we can't pay our school bill. If you love God, it says that you will do this. Have you been doing this? Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Are we doing that? Are you persevering? Are you praying? But Brother Beckham, I go out soul winning. I read my Bible. I'm in a Bible college. I know that. But are you praying? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you love him enough to talk to him every day? All day long? If a man loves me, he will keep my words. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will that men pray everywhere. Do you do that? Do you do that? See, these are commands of the Lord. These are commands from the Word of God that you are here to study and get a degree and go out and preach. Students, let me beg of you, be honest with this. Be honest. The altars are going to be open here in a moment. And I hope that you will do what, because if you're not doing this, and if you are really in the family of God, guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. He's going to convict you. Because you're not doing it. And he convicted Brother Beckham years ago. Lost my wife. And I had to get on my knees. And I had to be honest with God. Had pastored for many years. Wrote books. Went out soul winning every day. Pastored a church. There was something lacking. That relationship with God. Don't just have a name Christian on you. Be a Christian. Amen? There's a difference in a, and a Christian and a believer. A believer is going to heaven, but a Christian is Christ-like. So are you a believer or are you a follower of God? Think about that, please. Let's pray. Father, I love you so much, and I pray as I have shared my heart this morning, Lord, I just pray that the students here this morning will be honest with you, with themselves, and Lord, I just pray that we'll have a little touch of revival in Miles Anderson Bible College, right here this morning. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Right now, you may want to come get around the altar. Many are up here. And we dealt with the prayer life this morning. So think about it, okay? Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. I claim to be one of your children, and I don't even talk to you. I go days and weeks and even months without even talking to you. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. See, students, I had to do that years ago. I had to say, I'm sorry. Now for 21 years, and after 55 years of preaching, I'm begging folks, but I shouldn't have to beg. But I'm preaching every week of my life almost, trying to get people to realize He's a wonderful Father. He's a wonderful Savior. He is worthy for us to talk to. So just right now, just pray. Hey, try not to get in a rush. Trying to follow directions. Get done, you can get up and go back to the pew. Thank you so much.